Great to see you, great to be with you this morning, and a bit of a special service this morning as we'll be welcoming and commissioning a number of people that in the life of this church and this community have called by God and are faithfully serving. This isn't something new, some of these people have been doing this for years, but it's right that we recognise that people are commissioned by God and are faithfully serving in not only this church but in our community, in seeing what God is doing, where he's at work. And it reminds me in the beginning of the book of Acts, as Luke writes, where he says that they met together. These are the disciples. They met together daily and broke bread with one another in each other's houses and continually prayed and had all that they needed. And they all were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And by day and by night, attending the temple together, and there received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this isn't something new that we're doing. We can trace this right the way back through history and see where God is at work. That's no different then as it is now, because God is continually at work. And we're going to celebrate that as we do this morning. So as we gather together, we seek the Lord in all that we do. So let's just rest ourselves a moment. Let's just focus maybe our scattered senses upon the presence of God here with us this morning. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that we are able to gather here today, not only within this building, Lord, but also through the technology of those that are joining us through our YouTube channel this morning, wherever they are, in and around the world, Lord. We just thank you that we gather physically, spiritually, whether that's together or whether we are scattered, we gather in your name and in your presence here. Lord, we want to lift your name upon high. We want to sing our praises to you this morning. Would you receive everything that we say, everything that we do as an offering to you? Lord, may it bless you. And in turn, Lord, would you continue to bless us with your presence and by the power of the Holy Spirit, breathe afresh new life into us each day. Lord, we come as we are, who we are, made in the image and created in the likeness of you, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we praise you this morning. We raise our voices to you. We raise our hearts to you. We give all that we have to you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let's invite the... And maybe as we just take our seats, as we just reflect upon those words, maybe this morning we want to declare how faithful our God is. And maybe we take this time now just to pray and just reflect of how faithful God is to us. If there's something you want to declare and praise God's name for, then let's do that now. If there's something you want to praise God for, then let's do that. A sentence, a word, whatever it may be. Lord, we give you thanks that this day we can trust wholeheartedly in you, because you are a faithful God. Lord, you have mercy, you have grace, you brought about salvation, and Lord, we give you thanks this day. All glory and honor to you now and forevermore. Amen. So let's come to this part where we are going to commission and lay hands on those that are set apart by God working in the life of not only this church, but in the community and the surrounding areas. What is this kind of service? What is it when we commission people? As I said, it comes from old within Scripture. People of Old Testament and New Testament alone were laying hands upon people, setting them apart for God's work, as they have been recognized in what God is doing in their lives, where he's leading them and calling them. And it's recognition of God at work through his chosen people. It's not what we want to do or how we would do that or how we go about doing that. The ultimate thing is that God is at work. Yes, here today in 2022, almost going into 2023, God is at work. This is the Missio Dei. mission of God. God is at work. He is alive and reigns forevermore. As someone said, the sovereignty of our Lord. And so those that are ready to faithfully serve, we commend and we lay hands on and we pray and we bless each and every one. And we affirm the gifts that God has given to them in order to serve, not only through here in this community, but wherever God leads and takes. And so we want to recognise that today in this service. And Rob and myself will be leading in that. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we now receive and welcome these friends who God has called. And that's important, we recognise that. We recognise who God has called and whose calling the church will also recognise in the serving of this fellowship and community. And so I'm going to invite them to come up, and you should all know that you're coming up, so don't act surprised. But I want to bring Jan as our children and families worker to come up. Marbeth, would you come up? Malcolm would be here. Unfortunately, he's not feeling too great today, but we would invite Malcolm and Marbeth for their ministry and work in Prospects. Michael, please come up for your leading within the men's breakfast. David and Sue, would you also come up for your work, not only within this church, but on church in the streets in Killamarsh and the surrounding area, and also for the work of the chaplaincy at Wales High School. I would invite Hazel, but she's not here. You're probably watching at home, but you're included in this, Hazel. But Livy, George and Pauline as well, for your work in the toddlers group. As you come in, let's just form a horseshoe around. I also want to say at this point that George and Pauline, not only do they help, obviously, at Toddlers Group, but they do so much more within the life of church and within many other groups. We'd be here all day recognising what they do. Do you want to bring it round a bit? Don't be shy. Shoulder, shoulder, stand up. And then there's Suzanne and Jeannie as well. Suzanne and Jeannie, if you also want to come up, you are recognised for your leading of the prayer ministry within this church, as we have seen, and as we're going to see, as you lead us within that. You can stand round there also. You can come round up this bit as well if you want. Don't worry, because otherwise you're going to be falling off. Can't move round. Now, we do have Krista and Jean here as well. Ying would be invited up at this point, but Ying is travelling. But for your work and recognition in the Tithe team as well, would you want to come on up? Yeah, are you sure? Come on. Yes, Eugene. You can't stand around that side, because otherwise you're going to be falling off here. Give you a hand up. I'm sure you can do it, but...
Yes, thank you.
There you go. And so we're recognising that these people, the work that they do, not only within the life of this church, but as I say, the community and surrounding areas as well. Rob, would you like to lead us in some of the prayers?
Absolutely, yeah. As servants, as David has said, as servants of Christ in the church, these people have been called to share with the leadership of the church, the wider leadership of the church, in the tasks of pastoral care, of stewardship, within the life and mission of this congregation, this community, and the surrounding areas. So let's trust them in what they're doing. Let's pray for them, and at all times, let's help them as their church family in the work of the Lord.
And so as we come to pray, there's some declarational sentences that we'll say. They're going to appear on the screen for you, so don't worry, it's not like repeat after me. They're going to appear on the screen for you. And then also there's going to be some words that as church members and friends of church you'll also acknowledge and say within that. So let us confirm our faith in power and in truth. And so we say, as it comes up please. There we go, thank you. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
This is God in whom we trust as we follow Jesus Christ.
Excellent. And do you believe that God has called you through this church to this office? And do you promise, in dependence upon his grace, to exercise this ministry faithfully?
Yes.
Mark, take that one. There you go. And to the church.
So, friends and members of the church, do you confirm the call of God to our brothers and sisters as servants here in this church and the surrounding communities in the service of Jesus Christ? We do. And will you support and encourage them in this ministry?
Oh, come on. I'll tell you what, this thing is going to get launched in a minute. Take it back one, please, Mark. Do you want to read that again, please?
We'll have another shot at that, yeah. I think. Yeah. Will you support and encourage them in all their ministries?
Gladly
we will. And so, therefore, now in word and deed, let us pray together for our commissioned servants.
Just lay your right hand on the next person next to you, and let's pray and lay hands on one another.
You can put your left hand if you want, Jim. Let's pray together. Loving God, we marvel this morning at the way that you call women and men into partnership with you for the sake of your saving purposes for this world. You call us in Christ and you empower us by your Spirit so that your church may be built up and your gospel proclaimed and lived. Father, we thank you for these brothers and sisters who you have called to serve you within this fellowship. We give you thanks for all you give us through them, for their following of Jesus, for their willingness by your grace to serve together. Mm-hmm. And as we commission them for your ministry, we ask your blessing on them. Lord, guide them, equip them by your Spirit, so that your church may grow in wisdom, in love, and in unity. Guide them and equip them by your Spirit so that your name may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, Jan, we commend you and commission you to serve as our children's and families worker here within this congregation, within this community and the surrounding area. Malcolm, if you're watching at home, but Marbeth as well, bless that you will continue to lead and to serve in your ministry in Prospects, not only for this church, but in this community and the surrounding areas. Michael, we commission and pray that you would lead in the men's breakfast, along with Mark and with George and with Nev as well. But we commission you to lead within that work. David and Sue, we thank you for all that you are doing within Church on the Streets, within the area of Killamarsh and that surrounding area, with the work in chaplaincy at the school, Wales High School, but also in your service and dedication within this church. And we commission you as God's servants to lead and to continue in that work. Hazel, you're watching at home with Livy, George and Pauline as well. May you nurture and faithfully serve the toddlers group as commissioned servants of Christ, nurturing these future generations that are coming up through. Suzanne and Jeannie, we commission you to serve in the leading of all of this prayer life within our church. For those that need to be nurtured within that, for those that want to grow and be encouraged within that, may you serve faithfully with what Christ leads you to do. And for Ying as he's travelling, but his team as well of Krista and Jean, in the work that you do with the Tithe team, looking out for those important charities and areas of where we may faithfully be able to help, not only with monetary gifts, but with prayerful thoughts and thanksgiving to Christ in all that he leads us to do. We thank you and continue to ask that you would lead us in that important field of mission as well. And so may God bless you as you share in the ministry of Jesus Christ, each and every one of you, and all of us that are here also in doing that. And I include the team within that. Carol, you're also included within this also. And bless the work that the words and the deeds doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, giving thanks to God through him at all times, in all ways. And so, as a congregation, would you say these words and bless the people here that are commissioned, as we get through there, would you say these words as a prayer to these people commissioned today in front of God? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And as they're taking their seats, as I say, it's important to recognise the work that God is leading people to do. And as we go along, there will be others recognised for their gifts and their skills, that as we grow, and that's the important thing, as we see that as we grow, more things take shape, more things come to be, and we'll see others being commissioned for God's faithful work and service.
Thank you, Father God, that you are there for us at all times and in all places. And Lord, we choose to bless your name. Amen. So I'm going to pass over to Carol for the notices. But while she's just coming up, I just want to open an invitation. We are going to have a choir again for the carol service. If you were in it last year, you will find out about it automatically. But we would love to have anybody who's new or anybody who wasn't quite feeling brave enough last year, do come and join us. Dates and things will be put in stone in a little while, but anybody who'd like to play an instrument for us or who would like to come and sing, you'd be really welcome. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, that sounds brilliant. Yeah, great. Christmas is coming, isn't it? I think it's about 8 weeks today. Anyway, never mind. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be together again. Lovely to see so many here this morning. Welcome back, those who are regular viewers on YouTube after last week's break. It really is good to be together. Thank you for the worship so far and everything that's happened. And we look forward to David speaking to us in a little while. So just... Right, just a few notices for this next week then. Monday, tomorrow, I seem to have been announcing this for quite a while. It's the light party, sorry. Tomorrow evening between 5 and 7, all ages. Please sign up if you think you'll be able to come, just so that we make sure we've got enough food. It's a lovely time, alternative to the Halloween celebrations, if that's the right word. So please do come between 5 and 7 tomorrow evening. But prior to that, tomorrow morning, we have the prayer and meditation meeting. That's on Zoom at 9:30. Tuesday, the 1st of November, Mums and Tots will be meeting again after the half-term break. Next Saturday morning at 9:30, we'll be having a prayer meeting down here at church. The week after, Saturday the 12th of November, it's the next men's breakfast down here at church at 8:30. See George, Michael or Mark if you need any more information about that. If it's possible, can you please book or let Michael know, that just ring him up and let him know. It's just mainly for the shopping, so we'll make sure, again, that we've got enough food. But if it doesn't matter, just turn up if it's a last minute thing. Sunday the 13th of November is Remembrance Sunday. We are having an earlier service down here at church at 9:30, just for that 1 week, to give anyone chance to go to the community event at Aston, which will start at 10:45. And there will be refreshments after that as well. So that's just for the 1 week, Sunday the 13th. Sunday the 27th of November, we have a baptism service. It's the first Sunday in Advent, which is just really nice to have a baptism service as we look forward to Christmas and the coming of our Lord. So that's going to be happening on Sunday the 27th. If anyone's thinking of baptism or want a bit more information, please do speak to David or Rob. Shoebox appeal, the deadline's getting a bit nearer now. The collection date is the week commencing the 14th of November. So if we could have all the boxes in before then, that would be really good, just to give us time to get them where they need to be. And the Warm Space project, that is starting this coming Thursday from 9 o'clock until 3. We are opening the school hall for anyone who wants to come. It's a warm, safe place. It is free. Please spread the message for if anyone wants to come. There will be refreshments available as well. We've had quite a lot of people to volunteer to help, which is really lovely. But again, if you're still able to do that and you want to be involved in it, please see David. As usual, website, Facebook page regularly updated, thanks to those who know all about these things, and the weekly emails of course will be coming out tomorrow. But again, if you need to chat about anything, please do get in touch with one of us. Thank you.
Well, just as we come to look at the continuation of our series, as we're looking at fruit of the Spirit, we're looking at faithfulness today. If you've got your Bibles, do turn to page of church Bibles, anyway, 1007. That's page 1007. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and Marbeth is going to read that for us now. Marbeth, do you want to come up, please? Thank you.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and have acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him up from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect.
Thank you so much for reading that, Marbeth. And it's right that we read Scripture in its fullness, so we get its context and its background as to what we're looking at. Let's just pray as we come to look deeper into God's Word. Lord, we just pray that you would open our ears, our hearts and our minds to receive your Word this morning. Lord, may it strike us. May you speak deeply into our hearts. May we receive from you this morning. What is it that you're saying to us through your Word today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're two-thirds of the way through this series on Fruit of the Spirit. As I say, we're looking at faithfulness today. Some of the characteristics, if you like, of faithfulness that reflect God is loyalty. It is when this works. Mark, you press it forward, please. Hurrah. Loyalty, trustworthy, steadfast in love, patient and committed. And when we begin ourselves to embrace these characteristics of faithfulness, if you like, we learn to be faithful to God, ourselves and others, because Jesus is constantly faithful to us and for us. Let me just say that again. Some of these characteristics of faithfulness, when we learn to take them on and to act within them, we then become more faithful to God, ourselves and others, because Jesus is constantly faithful to us. Faithfulness comes from a place of trust and loyalty. Hebrews chapter 11, in the very first verse, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things that we have not seen." Hurrah. It's confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see, should I say. And with that, as a Christian, it's important to be faithful to God. Because within this, it's one thing simply to believe in him, but it's another thing to be faithful to him. Anyone can believe in something, but you just go about doing your own thing. But to believe and to be faithful in is so much more. You recall that I said a good while ago, probably last year now, everything seems like last week, but it was probably last year, that fear and faith cannot coexist together. Fear and faith cannot coexist together. What we have is faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11 as being certain of what we do not see. It's an absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our lives. That God is constantly at work in every area of our lives, working behind the scenes, even when there's no tangible evidence to support that fact. That's something you've simply got to believe, that God is constantly working, even when there's no tangible evidence to support the fact. And yet, on the other hand, I said that fear, simply stated, is an unbelief, or if you like, a weak belief. Unbelief gains the upper hand in our thoughts, and fear begins to take hold of our emotions. Our deliverance from fear or worry is simply based on faith. And that is the very opposite of unbelief. Of course, we need to understand that faith is not something that we can produce ourselves. Faith is a gift. You read that in Ephesians chapter 2, in Galatians chapter 5. It's described as that characteristic of the fruit, if you like, deliverance from fear and from worry. It's produced through Holy Spirit living and dwelling within. Faith is produced by Holy Spirit living within. And so in our passage today, we heard that many people by faith did something that God called them to do. He simply said to do something and they acted in obedience and in trust and went and did and followed. And we've seen that with our brothers and sisters today that have been commissioned. Like I say, some of the things that they're doing is not new. They've been doing for a long time. You take toddlers, for instance. It's probably been going for nearly 3-4 decades. Faithfully, week in, week out, seeing the young people grow. And actually having people bring their toddlers back. How great is that? Testimony to how God is leading in their lives. Of what God is calling them to do. And it's interesting how the writer of Hebrews, do you know what, I'm going to give up on this in a second, where he turns around in verse 32 and says, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and all the prophets. Because it's interesting where there's so much more to say about how these people of faith are leading in what God is calling them to do. Well, let's just look at some of these characters today, because we get, at the beginning of the chapter, so many in-depth conversations about what the others are doing, Moses and David and Abel and what have you. But for people like Joshua and Rahab, not much is said. But what we have, as we've heard about, particularly with Joshua, who followed God's strange instructions to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, marched and shouted, and then the walls fell down flat. So they were then able to get in on that day, and the Israelites swarmed, killing everything that was living apart from Rahab and her family. I guess throughout that story, there's that obedience and this faith and dependence on God who made Joshua one of Israel's strongest leaders. You see, like us, Joshua is often besieged by other voices, by the pulls of the world, but he chose to follow God. He chose and he did it faithfully. Even though Joshua wasn't perfect, he proved that it was worthwhile, a life of being obedient to God, which bore great rewards. And if we live according to God's word like Joshua, we too receive God's blessings. It's when we're out of kilter, if you like, when we're out of favour, when we're doing our own thing, that we feel that God is so far away and that we're not being blessed. On the other hand, there's Rahab, if you like, where, as we find in Joshua 2, Rahab is one of these unexpected characters in Scripture. Yes, her profession was that of a prostitute, but she was selected for high honour because God chose her. She heard about the God of Israel and recognised him as the one true God. And in doing so, found that it was worth risking her life for God and the one that calls, the one that sends out. And so she faithfully bore witness to what God was doing and had heard stories how the Lord had delivered the Jews from the hand of their enemy. And so she decided to dedicate her life to and faith in the one true God, because God judges people differently. And then there's Gideon, you'll find again in Judges from chapter 6 following. Like some of us, he doubted his own abilities and he put out the fleece, not once, not twice, but three times to test God. And we know that God can accomplish many things and doesn't need us if we forget ourselves or if in our weaknesses, can still make us strong, can still deliver us from fear and be faithful and strong and to follow in ways that are unimaginable. Faith, as we understand it, is needed for any worthwhile task. The bigger the task, the bigger the faith, the more that is required. And faith in God is absolutely necessary, because without it, like I say, we go about our own thing. God will use who will he will use for those that are faithfully committed to obediently leading and doing what he's calling us to do. Whether a woman like Deborah or an unknown man like Barak, God will use each and every one of us if we obey and follow where he leads, wherever that may be. Then, of course, there's Samson. Samson gets a mention, but yet he probably stands as one of the saddest figures in Old Testament times. A person who started with great potential, but squandered life with self-indulgence and sinful living. However, the last moments of his life, Samson returned to God, and God blessed him and answered his prayer. And I've said before, haven't I, that we can often live in three ways: by sight, by faith, by a mixture of these. And this echoes that. You can serve yourself or you can serve God. It's made more difficult, I guess, in the culture in which we live in. One where a culture of sensuality that encourages self-indulgence, the what's in it for me culture, the have it all now. But what about patiently waiting? And as we saw earlier, one of the characteristics of God is about patience. And in a similar way, I guess there's Jephthah in Judges. One of the most encouraging stories, but at the same time, probably one of the most saddest stories. And again, we've said this before. He triumphed over the rejection, yet lost someone so very dear to him because of a knee-jerk, unnecessary vow that he made just before a battle. The story goes that just before he was going into battle, he made a vow to God that if the Lord would give him victory and give him mercy, that he, the victory over the Ammonites, that he would make a burnt offering of the very first thing that comes out of his house. What was the first thing that came out of his house? His daughter. His daughter. And he kept to that promise and to that vow. Then you'll know that if you've read it, he not only keeps to that, but he is so saddened and destroyed and distraught by the knee-jerk reaction that he made. But yet, it's not to let pride get in the way of serving God. He made a vow that he didn't need to make, and God didn't require it, but it cost him so very dearly. So what can we learn from these people for our times and for our community? What about these faithful people acting in their times? What about the faithful people like us acting in our communities today? You recall the number of times where it says by faith, not through only Hebrews chapter 11, but throughout all of Scripture, of those people that not only do something and say something, but act upon it in word and in deed. They don't just read of it, they actually do it. Stories of obedience, of true testimonies, of faith stories like yours and like mine. People that know that God is calling them to do something. Not necessarily where or when, but faithfully and obediently go and do it in full faithfulness. Because you see, the whole part of God at work, as I said earlier, this missio Dei, that Latin word for God's mission, the mission of God, seeing in times of Old Testament where nation was rising against nation, where people was getting richer and people was getting poorer, how does that speak in today? I think it speaks perfectly well in today terms, because our nation's not rising against nation. our people not getting richer and our people not getting poorer. It's no different today. But you see, the mission that we hear about is that of God's. The fact that he is restoring everything to him, gathering in celebration. The Missio Dei, if you like, it refers to the work of the church being part of God's work and where we see God leading in all of these. We celebrate here today, do we not, of those that have been commissioned and that we've laid hands and we've prayed for the people working in normal circumstances, doing extraordinary things, because God is working through that. God is leading. God is leading out and guiding. I guess maybe for several years, many churches don't seem to be doing that. Many churches seem, as they would say, to be getting it wrong. And I've had many conversations over the last 6 to 8 months with a lot of churches that have just lost so many people and can't understand why things aren't working anymore. And I think it boils down to this, and it seemed to be shared pretty much in agreement with the rest of the group as we met. I think the one truth, sad as it is that we are neglecting to share the gospel of Jesus. We are neglecting to share the gospel of Jesus. It is as simple as that. Yes, we can meet with one another. Yes, we can talk. Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can meet with those that we're familiar with and that we're happy with. But what about those that we don't know? What about those that we've not come across? What about those that we maybe stand at the bus stop with, or sit next to, or share lunch with, or go out with? Wherever that may be on our front lines, what about then? Do we truly and honestly share the gospel? The answer probably is no. And that's not to be embarrassed or ashamed about, but it's the truth. Why? Because of probably inherited, learned traditional behaviour. We can say that of here, we can say that of anywhere. And this is pretty much is what is going on. We are neglecting the gospel truth of Jesus Christ and sharing that. Because often people don't want to go out and experience hostilities. Often people don't expect when they go out to see such areas of deprivation and be so helpless or to be met with resistance. When maybe in the past you have shared the gospel and it's brushed aside, or you've come under some harsh words from people for doing so. It puts people off. But we should never be ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's where it brought us to and it's where it will lead us on to. And so what does that look like to be faithful and to go out? What does it look like to simply share Jesus and to read scripture with people in a very simple way? We're called to be part of this missionary movement, which is called to be part of that, which has its source in the triune God. Triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in unity, in perfect unity, in that bond to which we too, as gospel followers, are called to be part of faithfully. Trinitarian interaction as Father, whom out of the depths of his love sent forth his Son, and through the to reconcile all things, that we may be made one through Holy Spirit. Is that not we aspire to be? Is that not we, what we want to ascribe to do and go and simply share faith with other people? The very nature of faith, if you like, as Calvin puts it. He said back in 1559 that the nature of faith is a direct relation between faith and the merciful promises of God. He states that we must also note the emphasis placed upon the role of Holy Spirit in revealing and sealing this knowledge. Let me just say that again. Calvin says that there's a direct relation between faith and the merciful promises of God. And he states that we must also note the emphasis placed upon the role of Holy Spirit in revealing and sealing this knowledge. So there, if you just take anything from that, is the very fact that we don't do this ourselves. It's the fact of that triune God working through and with us, and in our case, this today, through Holy Spirit, that there is that revealing and sealing knowledge that we too are able to share. Everything that God is doing in and through the world and through people and through nations is to establish his kingdom here on earth. and to be part of that with church, not as the building, but as the people, to go out as sent ones, to go faithfully and take his word, so that followers of Jesus were to engage in that mission by creating authentic community where each person's dignity can be restored and whilst actively participating in God's community. Something must be done. Something simply needs to change, and it is simply to change because reports are grim. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the Baptist Association's meeting, Yorkshire Baptist Association's meeting. And there, the regional minister said 100 years ago, the YBA, Yorkshire Baptist Association, was the largest association in the UK, with some 200 churches plus, with an average congregational size of 150 to 200 each week. Fast forward 100 years, we're now under 100 churches, and we've got less than around an average size of around 50 people in attendance, not every week, but what would now be classed as regular attendance of once or twice a month. So we've lost over 100 churches. We've lost nearly 100 to 150 people, each church in regular attendance, each week to maybe once or twice a month. There was also a BU report, BU Council report that came out the other week, and maybe you've looked at it, I put it out on the email, and I can print some copies. But in that report, it asked, what would it look like for the Baptist Church to be seen as a credible provider in meeting the needs of the spiritually hungry 9 million young adults in the UK? The report was particularly looking at young adults. And there was a guy, a minister from Stevenage, Andrew Ginn, who's a member of the Young Adults Roundtable. And he spoke first at the meeting, and he said this to define our reality. He explained we're losing young adults from Baptist churches three times faster than older members. We're losing young adults three times faster than older members. Participation from 2015 until the pandemic, late 2019, early 2020, had dropped by 2,000. Since 2021, another 2,000 young adults had left, meaning we now have 6,662 young adults in our churches. He went on and said, if we take these trends, we'll have around 100 young adults by 2030. That's only 7 years away. We'll go down from just over 6,000 to about 100 young adults in 7 years. He continues and said, even if the decline stopped and we maintained our current position, in 40 years' time, all our activity and attendance would be reduced by 86%. This is a trend and the pattern that it's going on. In wider society, he said, millennials and Gen Z represent 16% of the total population and 59% of the workforce. These are not the emerging generations. These are the generations of now. They're already here. He said, just 4% of the 18 to 30s, which is about 360,000, attend church, of which the Baptist figure, which was the aforementioned 6,662, accounts for just 2%. This is in the UK. But he says the hope is to identify something of our reality so that we can engage with the urgency of the situation. Because if we fail to engage with the millennials and Gen Z, then we're opting out of a future of the Baptist Union. And that would be a crying shame, he said. We're a valuable part of the body of Christ. This is about mission of our God in our generation. And so if nothing changes, then nothing changes. It's as simple as that. But something has got to change. So how faithful are we to this change? How faithful are we to sharing the gospel in a very simple way with not only one another, but with those that haven't encountered the gospel yet or scripture? Because these reports are staggering. It's not there to scare, it's there because it's truth, it's what's happening. And I digress, but it needs to be said. By faith we are called, by faith we're set apart. And we've seen that this morning, we've recognised that this morning. in our service. Those that have been called to various ministries, not only here, but within the surrounding areas. And we commend them for that, because it's what God is calling people to do, to support them in their tasks, as we look not only to the future, but now at the reality and what we face. Because this is what we face now, here, today. A community theologian, Anne Morrissey, has done a number of books, great books. I encourage you to read some of them, especially around community theology. But to approach and to minister to a community, she says, we need to enable Christians that act like Christians. To enable Christians to act like Christians. To feed people's imagination so that the significance of the gospel can be sensed. And to know that it can be a force for positive change in society. To know that it can be a force for positive change in society. And I guess that is living and working in your front lines, wherever that may be, through faithfulness. Faithfulness to God as God is faithful to us, showing us and leading us of where he wants us to go and who will come along on our journeys. Knowing that we've got something to share that's worth sharing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in the importance of the struggle to humanity within that. And what I want to say simply is, and I've said this before, that the church is primarily a people. It's not a place to meet, it's a movement and not an institution. A church is 24/7 identity in Jesus Christ. It's not a respite from the real world for an hour and a half on a Sunday. Yes, it's important we gather and we have our church service on a Sunday. Not necessarily that has to be a Sunday. Again, that's tradition. We can meet any time of the week we want and any place we want. That's church meeting together. But it's important that we do meet on whatever given time and day, because we infuse and recharge and enliven one another and encourage one another and affirm one another to go and do what God is calling us to do throughout the week. We need to realise that mission isn't just about rotas, but it's about talking and doing. It's not about just trying to get people in. Jesus didn't invite people to the synagogue. He didn't go out and journey with people throughout the week and go, oh, by the way, it'd be great to see you at temple on Friday. And then stand there at the door and go, well, where are they? I did that. I don't think he'll look at his watch. Watches weren't invented. He might have had a sundial, I don't know. But he simply didn't do that. And he wasn't downcast or frustrated when the people didn't come, because it wasn't about that. It was about reaching them where they are and sharing the good news. Because he is the good news. He is the word that was there in the beginning. Jesus proclaimed the gospel in action with all faithfulness, in power and in truth. And the primary task of church as gospel people is to share the good news. This isn't new, or it shouldn't be new of what I'm saying. It's what's been said for generations, for thousands of years, passed down. And so, where we go, we need dialogue. It's important, but action must also be a priority. It's not about bringing people to our own beliefs, but helping them to discover their own and develop their own belief in Christ Jesus. We can point to the one who came to give it all. We can point to the one who has saved us and brought salvation and deliverance within our life. But that's going to probably look very different for them. And so we too can help them to journey within that and help them develop and discover for that themselves. It's about taking planned risks. It's about sharing with personal loss. Taking such risks and suffering some form of losses takes place when we face up to the anxiety of the rawness, the abrasive aspect of life. Just like the characters that we heard of through the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, just like we've heard and we hear of the people of the life in this church and this community. Through action, we see the doors open up in faith. We see the stepping stones into faith for the unchurched. It begins with discipleship rather than belief. It begins with us stepping out in faithfulness and seeing where God is at work. doesn't call for heroics. It doesn't call for extraordinary lives or commitments, but it does require some risks and a willing to put ourselves out for others, on behalf of others. And above all, it requires faithfulness to God, to each other, and to ourselves. You think back to the very start of this series when I said of the nine flavours, if you like, nine characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, the first, love, joy, and peace, how that clings us to God and draws us and develops us to God. So here in faithfulness, it draws us with each other. And then the others are going to be with ourselves. We all fall sometimes, but we get back up. We dust ourselves and we shake ourselves off, and we affirm and encourage one another and be stronger to face times ahead. And we've all got testimonies to that. I'm sure we can stand here all day and people can come and go and share testimonies of how God has been so faithful in their life, how they have been faithful and stepped out in the boldness of Christ to where God has led them and seen miraculous things happen. And yet, it's what we only need to do. Simply share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grow and know God more. Grow in Christ and overflow in life of the Spirit. Obedience, faith, dependence upon God, because we are sent ones. We can look back through many of these characters. You can look at Rahab as she declared her faith in the one true God, living a life that was maybe not right, but one where she saw faith in true God. She learnt that following will change life forever, because faith in God is necessary. God will use who God will use. That's for him to do, not for us to dictate or say who or who will not. But God will use each of us if we are to put trust in him, if we are to obey, and if we are to faithfully follow him wherever he leads us. Let's pray. Father God, these may be challenging words. I myself find them challenging. Even though the time spent in hearing of what you're wanting to say, Lord, it can be difficult. When we come up against resistance, when we come up against people that may not want to hear what it is we want to say, when we're unable to journey with people, Lord, sometimes it can seem such chaos. But Father, we know you brought order in the chaos. We know it's you that will give the word. We know it is you that will lead us to those at the right time. Give us words to say that even we may not understand what we're saying when we're saying them. But Lord, it's speaking directly into somebody's heart. It's sowing that seed and knowing that you will bring that to fruition. Lord, would you forgive us for the times that we may have tried to do that ourselves, in our own right, in our own way. Because, Lord, it is all of you. Lord Jesus, it is all because of you that we stand here, forgiven, ransomed, healed and restored. So, Lord, we just pray that you would guide us, that we would be faithful to following what it is you want us to do, no matter how scary that may look. Even if that may take some of us away somewhere else. Lord, knowing that it is you that calls, that it is you that directs, because as part of that Missio Dei, part of being your mission, of where you are simply serving and reaching out to your people. Lord, I pray for the breaking of the resistance to your word. I pray for the breaking into the darkness and your light shining in and blasting out those that will go against, those that will try and lead astray, those that seem to do what they want. Lord, would you bring about your will? Would you bring about your change? Would you bring about your everlasting love? And so that surely the goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. May we be a blessing to those that we come across, and may it also bless in turn you and glorify your name forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. In this time and at this moment, we say that we will be faithful to you. We declare it, Lord. We choose to welcome your Holy Spirit. Choose to bear his fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.